Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Fourth and final hour here live on a Tuesday. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise with you. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, will come up at the bottom of the hour. The big finish at 9:45. Also, we'll get back to our top four Tuesday in college football. But the Nashville Predators just sent out an email, a media advisory. And I'm just going to take a shot here. I have no idea what this means, but Predators to make major hockey announcement today at 11:30. Could that mean they're announcing a Roman Josi contract? Am I out of line for speculating?
It could be the logo for the Winter Classic, the jersey.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Could be the jersey for the Winter Classic.
Not that that's a bad thing.
The sweater.
Mm. Yeah, it could be. The sweater. We don't know.
Damn.
I mean, but
a guy can dream.
Our show would have been made for tomorrow.
A guy can dream.
Roman Josi, 9.5. Your
that's
thoughts?
That's a good guess.
Yeah.
It's not a bad guess.
All right. Just throwing darts, seeing what sticks.
Throw the spaghetti against the wall. Hopefully it sticks.
All right. Nate wants to check in on Marquise Munson's dating list and dating life. Nate, you go ahead.
So it's more of a question because it's kind of in line with his dating life thing. I was driving for a company in Chattanooga, and you know how most places don't allow smoking in bars, but some do, and you have to be like 21 to get in. And I asked these people from the north if it was true that they allowed smoking in this specific establishment, and they said, that is such a southern question. And I'm like, how is that such a southern question to ask if they actually allow smoking in a bar?
So do people smoke more in the north as opposed to the south or vice versa?
I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, what? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I would say there's far less.
I don't know.
I've been in New York a bunch because my brothers live up there. There's very few places you can smoke.
Yeah.
Inside. Very, very few, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I love it.
The reason smoking has gone down is not because people quit. It's because we learned that smoking kills you. It's just young people never started. Now they're starting something else.
They should ban smoking from every establishment.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. In fact, it was during my years of college that I'd come home from doing regular college kid things, and you'd have to separate your clothes.
Exactly.
Like you'd have to put them in another room.
Smell like smoke.
Like, all right, there's the smoke pile. We're gonna do that laundry load another time because it smells and reeks of the bar the night before. And now, like, you just go to a restaurant or a bar and your clothing doesn't smell like cigarette ash.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem if you smoke. I mean, that's your
prerogative. Yeah, go do whatever you want, man.
No, that's your prerogative.
One of my closest buddies smokes cigarettes, and I'm like, dude, it's going to kill you, man.
So I'm just like,
So, but here's a question, though, for you guys. Because you can't shame somebody.
No, I don't shame a person, but I do have a problem with it.
But even if you care about them and you really love somebody and you're like, man, dude, you really got to smoke. You got to stop smoking. Like, it's going to kill you. You got kids. Like, how do you go about having that conversation with somebody? Because he already knows, right? So you can't say anything to him. What do you do?
I don't know. Just, you can't do anything. They just got to want to stop, I guess.
All right. So one thing I want to get to really quickly. We got a tweet from Jeremiah, diehard listener. And he says the Tennessee Volunteers. Now, he sends a screenshot. This is in, like, some type of message board discussion. So we're talking Vols. We're talking discussions and message boards. Which is, where all the same people live. And he says the Tennessee Volunteers can still win the SEC East. Did you guys know this? Now, let me run this by you.
Of course.
So, Georgia beats Florida. Certainly feasible. 5.5-point favorite, right? Nobody has an issue with that, right?
Okay. Before you go through all of that, UT's record in conference is what again?
They've got two wins.
Two wins.
Mississippi State and South Carolina.
So, they're 2-3.
Well, they've lost to Bama, Florida, and Georgia.
So 2-3.
2-3. So Georgia beats Florida. Mm-hmm. Nobody would object to that.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
The Vols beat Kentucky.
Sure.
Yeah, that can happen, yeah.
Okay. Vandy beats Florida.
Okay. Keep going.
Missouri beats Georgia.
Not the way they played the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they seem they've like been they're terrible. Going downhill.
Yeah, they've been bad the last 2 weeks.
Auburn beats Georgia.
Totally possible.
Yeah.
Missouri beats Florida.
They've beaten them, I think, 2 years in a row. So it's possible, okay. But they've not played good football lately. Mm-hmm.
The Vols beat Missouri.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tough, but sure.
The Vols beat Vandy.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Texas A&M beats Georgia.
Probably. That's possible.
So only one or two of those things I mentioned are complete long shots, like Vandy beating Florida.
I mean, there's probably like four or five long shots, but like, you know, in college football, we're seeing teams as 20-point underdogs win all the time right now. Mm-hmm. Like Vandy wins as a 20-point underdog.
That would give us a final standings in the East of Tennessee 5-3, Missouri 5-3, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Vandy 4-4, Kentucky 3-5. You would have an 8-5 Tennessee team.
I guess mathematically, yes, they can win.
Like, it's Halloween, and mathematically, technically, Tennessee can still win the East.
Yeah.
How many games did you have to read, though, to make that case?
Exactly. Like, you had to go to basically read
a
chapter.
How many turns into the corn maze did you have to go to get to that result? About
9.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot.
You basically was
Or how about this?
Like, I just wanted to give the audience something positive.
Here's what's going to happen. The winner of the Georgia-Florida game this weekend is going to win the East. How about
that? You can just say that. Basically, you were the guy that was driving to a new town and where they don't use GPS. And they said, and you said, so where's the nearest gas station? And they said, well, go up to the second light, make a left.
By Bob's Steakhouse, take a right.
You're going to see Bob's Steakhouse, and you make another left. And then you're going to see Susanna on the porch with the red door. Yeah. And then you want to make another right at that one.
And when you see the mailbox with a cow on it, take a right.
And you should be there.
Yeah, it's right there at the end of that road. With the 8-year-old playing the banjo.
So they give the layout of what happens, what the final standings are, and then the last question is at the bottom of this discussion. It says, so now that we've settled that, the real question here, does 8-5 SEC champion Tennessee get into the playoff?
What?
I swear to God, that's what it says.
Oh, wow. Dude,
I just wanted to troll people.
Is this person smoking early in the morning?
How about this? Auburn could still get to the SEC title game, and their resume would be wins over Oregon, win over Alabama. They'd have to beat Georgia or Florida in the SEC East. They would have 4 or 5 huge wins, and their only losses would be a 3-point loss to Florida and a 3-point loss to LSU. That team still probably isn't getting into the playoff at 11-2. And they would have a killer resume. Mm-hmm.
Chris Mason, bottom of the hour, the big finish at 9:45. We're back after this with our Top 4 Tuesday in college football. Stay there. All right, Top 4 Tuesday college football coming up in just about 5 minutes. But as I read the email that we got at the beginning of the 9 o'clock segment from the Predators, it says media advisory, Predators to make major hockey announcement today. And it says in detail the Nashville Predators will make a major hockey announcement today at 11:30 Central Time in Bridgestone Arena's event level media lounge. Here, you know, we were like, my first thought was, okay, Roman Josi, contract, done. They're going to announce it. Mm. And then you guys had mentioned the Winter Classic logo.
We said you weren't wrong. We're probably not far off.
I don't think you can.
It's all speculation here.
I don't think you can label an email major hockey announcement and then say it's.
The sweaters.
The sweater look. Like, I don't think that's major. As cool as that is. Mm. Now, I know you want to build hype for your own brand and your own announcement and your own game coming up. I get all that.
It's smart PR. Yeah.
It is. But I texted somebody, and this person believes it is the Josi deal. He's still digging for answers, but he believes it's the Josi deal. So we kind of said in passing at, 7:45 this morning, Roman Josi, second star of the week in the NHL.
Every day that goes by. He gets more leverage. Mm-hmm.
If that is, in fact, the announcement today in 2 hours and 15 minutes, are we talking $9.5 million?
Here's the only thing I'd like to know from Preds fans. Again, this is all hypothetical here. I would like to know what number they could announce that you'd be upset with. Because I'm not sure there is one.
Like, how can you be mad at 10?
I'm talking about us. Like, our job is to be critical, and like, we have to look at a contract and look at the years and look at the AAV and say, okay, that's a little bit much for the market. Or like, we have to be far more critical of these things than the fan does.
But who's going to be outraged over $10 million?
Is there a fan that's going to be outraged no matter what the number is?
For a guy that has produced, I couldn't care less what they gave him. He's produced. He's proven. So if they want to give him $20 million, I'm like, okay, y'all got to pay it, but okay. I'm not. Hey, listen, he's proven that.
It's all funny money.
He's one of the best players in the National Hockey League. So if you want to give him $10 million, give him $10 million. I'm not going to argue. You want to give him $12 million? Give him $12 million. He's proven it. I can see if he didn't prove it and then you gave him $12 million. Maybe that wasn't smart.
If they give him $12 million, I think it would be a smart analysis of us on this show to say they overpaid, that you overpaid for a guy. But that's not the way a fan would react. The fan's going to go, we have our captain locked up. It's not their money.
But let's set these parameters. I'm looking at Spotrac.com, top blue line salaries in the league. Erik Karlsson makes $11.5 million. Drew Doughty makes 11. P.K. Subban makes 9. Those are your top three.
He'll be above P.K. Subban.
So he's clearly above Subban at 9. He's going to be less than Doughty, I would assume, at 11. Yeah. So if anybody gripes about 10, I don't know what your beef is.
Yeah, I don't think there's grounds for disappointment if you're a fan, no matter the number. I don't think it matters. Again, is it going to hurt your team in 3 or 4 years? That's our jobs to look at that and say, hey, you know, this is too much money. You know, whatever. Maybe there's a no trade clause. You know, whatever it might be. The stuff that David Poile works into those contracts, right? He did a little bit with Duchesne on the salary from a signing bonus and a no-trade clause in the final couple years. You know, like all these little things that he doesn't always do. He only has done it for Pekka, basically. If he, you know, if he starts working more of these things, all those details, those are things that we analyze. Those aren't things that fans should care about. Yep. Fans should say, is our guy signed or not?
Exactly.
And here's the other thing. If you're the Predators and you're offering him 8.5, 8.75, 9, and his camp is saying 9.75, and you guys have had this disagreement all season, what have I said the entire time? If you believe that Roman Josi is the guy to captain your team to a Stanley Cup championship, what does the extra $750,000 matter? It doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter. If he's the guy that you think should captain your team to a championship, you pay that man his money.
I think they believe he is, but in negotiation, it's like, okay, how much can we get away with not paying them? Well, as the season is going on, you're not getting away with anything, because the more games you play, it seems the better he's becoming, and you're going to have to pay this man his money. So, you might have started off at, we're not going to give him no more than 8.75 or 9. Well, now it's up to 9.5, 10.
If he wants 13 and you're at 8.5, you're at a huge impasse.
Yeah, we got a problem.
There's a huge impasse there. Anything under $2 million, it's eventually you need to cave as an organization. Because otherwise, you don't believe that he's the guy to carry you to a championship, right? I mean, otherwise, that's what you're saying to your team and to your fans, is going, man, this guy is not going to be our captain. We're going to change captains again, and we don't believe that he's the guy to lead us to a championship. Then that's when you hold firm on your dollar
figure.
How
old is Josi?
Late 20s.
28, maybe? I'll check.
Yeah. But what I was going to say was, you know, $500,000, $750,000 difference, that's all funny money to these guys at this level as a pro sports franchise.
To the team?
Okay. Just turned 29, by the way.
Okay. Player, I want the player to get every penny.
Exactly.
But these teams are rolling in money because of television contracts and all that. Like, if you're the Predators and if you're Josi and it's coming down to less than $1 million, it at that point, then I don't think it's so much about the money. It's about ego and pride and who concedes.
It could be the structure. It could be, we want this.
No trade clause.
And no, we're not willing to give you this. We know that now the door is open, you know, with the whole no trade clause thing. David has opened up the door to that.
And we're acknowledging that, you know, $500,000 or $750,000 per year can eventually build up to $7 or $8 million.
Oh, sure.
If it's an eight year contract at 7 per versus 8 years at 8 per, I mean, I understand that that's an $8 million difference, not $1 million difference. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's multiplied by years. We know how to do math, but that is something to consider. I just don't think. If you're within, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's fairly simple. If you're within a certain realm of being close on both sides, just give him the money, because you clearly believe. Because here's the deal: if you're going to sign him, you are saying to everyone that you believe he is going to be the captain for that number of years. Let's say he signs an 8 year contract, he's going to be the captain for those 8 years, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to take the captaincy away from him. So what you're saying is you are our guy to captain our team for the next 8 years. At that, once you've said that to your team, what does the dollar figure really matter?
Yeah. We'll see.
And keep in mind, too,
if that is in fact what's happening today,
exactly.
Which we are guessing.
Right.
Cap sport. So salary cap certainly plays in where you're at as far as reaching the max and all that. But if it comes down to $750,000, even $1 million, and we're talking about a guy as good as Roman Josi, the captain of your team, who could very well win the Norris Trophy this year, you make it work financially by making a more expendable player. Like you either make a trade or you do whatever you got to do to fit it within a budget, right?
Yeah, and here's who comes off the books. Mikael Granlund comes off the books next year at 575. That's off the books next year. Craig Smith's at 4.25. That's off the books next year. Pekka's deal goes down next year. Mm-hmm. So all this stuff kicks in next year, and you still have lots of ways to make up potential salary jump that Roman Josi would go. Let's say it's $10 million, just for ease of numbers here. He goes from $3 million to $10 million. You got to make up that plus seven somewhere, right? Well, if you just let Craig Smith go, that's more than half of it right there.
Well, it could also
I don't think they can re-sign both Craig Smith or Granlund. And Kyle Turris' $6 million mm-hmm. could be a part of a trade. So there's lots of ways to find the money.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think if indeed this is it, and maybe they're not off a lot when it comes to per year. Maybe it's the structure of the contract. You know, what am I getting? Signing bonus. It could be a few things that are kind of holding the deal back. And maybe if this is indeed the announcement, they've worked all of that out.
What numbers would surprise you guys?
10-5.
That, really?
What would surprise
me? I don't think that would surprise
me.
I think
not
11,
that I'm against it, but I think above 10 would surprise me.
I think
what
11
would surprise me
you.
If he gets less than 9-5?
Less than 9?
That would surprise me. Anything above that wouldn't surprise me. Nothing would surprise me.
I think 11 would surprise me.
That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I think he's earned it.
Here's why anything above 10 would surprise me.
Because Poile.
Because David Poile always seems to get the best of the number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think right now, with the way hockey is going and what he and his agent, they're watching guys get paid. And they're saying, our guy is as good or better than some of these guys. And we're not taking, you know, $2-3 million less moving forward. And yes, you're great at negotiating contracts, David. But on this one, we're going to get what we're worth. Because we know that once we sign this contract, you're going to get every penny. You're going to get out of my client every penny that you gave him.
Yeah.
Let me make because you guys know I love sports betting. Mm-hmm. I'll make a comparison here with David Poile. David Poile's the sports bettor who jumps on a line, a sports gambling line, mm-hmm. when it first comes out, and let's say the Patriots are a 6.5-point favorite. Mm-hmm. David Poile gets it at 6.5 right away because he's that sharp, he's that smart. The line goes up to 7, 7.5. By kickoff, it's 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots win by 7. David Poile just cashed his betting ticket. Those of you who bet him at -7.5, -8, lost.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
That's David
is.
Poile. He gets the best of the number.
And again, the strategy he's always employed is I'm never going to give no trade, like no movement clauses. I'm not going to use those on anybody. So he's always got that chip in his back pocket, right? So he can go to Matt Duchene or Ryan Ellis and say, hey, well, I'll give you a no movement clause for the last 3 years for a limit, but it'll be limited. It'll be limited, but I'm going to give it to you because I don't give it to anybody else, but you got to take a little less.
Well, he can't do that now
because
he's given it already.
Well, but he's not really. He's only given it's like a pseudo no movement to Matt Duchene.
But he went from not doing it to doing it. So now you can't hold that in your pocket. You can't say, this is the carrot I'm dangling over people's head. Well, no, because if I'm Josi, I'm like, well, you've already done that. So what else do you have?
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's fairly limited. I think it's a 7-team no movement clause, I think, for Duchene. And I think it's only for the last couple of years of his deal. So,
but they gave it. So,
But if that's the carrot he can use with Josi, then that's a good – that'll bring the price down a little bit as well. So
big finish coming up in 20 minutes. Up next, we talk to our buddy Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst here on Morning Drive. That's right. Stop and listen, because Chris Mason is joining us, Preds TV analyst, and it's always a good 10 minutes spent every Tuesday here on the show. C-Mace, we appreciate a few. How are you doing this morning?
Thank you, guys. I'm doing great. That was great. That was a great intro music there, too, by the way.
So what do you make of tonight? Because we mentioned this earlier. The Blackhawks were coming off of a four-game losing streak. They snapped it. The Preds on a three-game win streak. From your perspective, do rivalries lose a little juice when you're down like Chicago is?
I think so. I think it's hard to, you know, have that, you know, when it's at its pinnacle, when both teams are good and, you know, like the Preds were on the rise and the Blackhawks were at the top of their game and there was kind of a shift in that. And the Blackhawks went in the rebuild mode and then, you know, the Predators have been a top team. So I think it does, but it's still definitely there. I know like both clubs just can't stand each other, which is always good. And no matter what, you know, situation either side is in, you know you're going to get a good hockey game. And this league, with that rivalry and the history that they have, it makes for good entertainment. So I think it's definitely still there, but I don't think it's quite, you know, the same as it was before.
I know it's real early in the season here, about an eighth of the way through or whatever, but we, you know, we thought the Central was going to be, you know, Minnesota at the bottom and sort of everybody else. What have you learned that's maybe different about this division?
I think that's kind of the way it is still. I think, you know, you have every team, even Chicago, they have a lot of guys that can put the puck in the net. They are definitely going through a rebuild. They got some good younger players, I think, coming up, but they have, you know, two good goaltenders, really good goaltenders. Crawford's off to a slower start, but you know, he's a high-end guy for sure. And then Robin Leonard is obviously, you know, he's had a resurgence in his career and he's off to a good start. I think they're, you know, they've went with Crawford a little more, but as it goes on, that's why you get a guy like Robin Leonard, because you know, you're going to need two guys. And then I don't know, it'll be interesting to see who goes tonight, but they got guys. Patrick Kane, he's playing last year, one of his best years of his career, and then Alex DeBrincat. They have guys that can, you know, put the puck in the net. So I just think any given night, you know, you have to bring your best game. You can't expect to roll in just because you're, you know, higher in the standings or you're projected to be better. You can't roll in and play a game at, you know, 75-80%. You have to give every team your best. That's why, you know, you're considered a better team. And in this league, I think even Minnesota, we saw, you know, I think Nashville's obviously a better team, but they have a lot of capable players and they play a certain style of hockey that, you know, allows them to stay in hockey games and maybe chip some of those 2-1, 3-2 kind of victories out. You're never going to get an easy game with them. And I just think it's so strong. And even Winnipeg, you know, they're on the back end there. They're a little weak because they've lost a lot of guys and Buffalo's still not back yet, so they definitely went down a few ticks. But if you look at the top four, I mean, I don't think you can find another division with as top heavy as the Central Division. It's just, you have to fight for every point. These teams kill each other. They hate each other in this division because it's been so competitive for so many years. So I just think it's just that every point, you just got to earn it.
So with that being said, is it something as small as, you know, what the Predators are doing now in regards to their power play? They went from basically dead last to right above the middle of the pack in the NHL at this point in time, because we know just about all these teams can score. It's, okay, what are the other little tangible things you can do as a team that's going to keep you above everyone else?
Oh, absolutely. That the power play is a weapon. When you get in these hockey games, you know, you're playing Tampa Bay, same thing. You know, you get the power play at those opportune times, 5 minutes left in a hockey game, and you know, you get it, you go on the power play. That's, you need your power play to score. It's such a huge difference maker to get those one or two points. If you're talking about trying to win a division again, you know, let's say your power play single-handedly wins you two or three hockey games, 6 points. That's the difference between first and second. That's the difference between making the playoffs, not making the playoffs. It's such a fine line. And for the Predators to have had that success on the power play early in the season, they've got a lot of extra points because of it. You know, so it's definitely something that, you know, every good hockey team has to have. It was kind of an anomaly last year that the Preds were able to win the Central Division with a lot. I don't know if that's ever happened. I'm not digging into the history books or anything, but you have a last place power team in the league and you win your division. That's pretty crazy. But to have that going for the guys right now, and just the timely goals that they're scoring, if you want to have success, you know, postseason and beyond that, you gotta have a power play that's going to help you win some hockey games.
Mace, final one for you. Big news from St. Louis yesterday with Vladimir Tarasenko. He's going to be reevaluated in 5 months after surgery. So basically, almost a majority of the season, he's going to be out. Just how big of a blow is that for St. Louis as far as trying to stay on pace with the Predators and catch Colorado?
It's a huge blow for them. I think they've got a deep hockey team. The way that they play the game, I think that that's a team that will be able to endure that. And I still think they're going to be, obviously in the goal scoring department, they're going to take a big hit. But I think the way that they play and the strength of their back end and the brand of hockey, they're tough. They play that playoff style hockey. They play a big, heavy kind of game. I think that that's a team that, can not necessarily afford to lose a guy like that, but I think that they'll be okay and they're going to be competing. I don't think they're going to fall off the map because they lost Tarasenko, even though he's an elite player in this league. They've got enough depth on there to sustain success. So I'm not too worried about that. If they lose another one, maybe a Ryan O'Reilly or something like that, then maybe you're in trouble, but I think they'll be okay.
Mace, I know you've been on the air with us, so you haven't seen a couple of these reports from Pierre LeBrun and Elliot Friedman reporting that Roman Josi's contract could be worth a little bit more than $9 million per year at about $8 million or at 8 years. What would you do with $75 million, Chris?
Jeez. I don't know. I have no idea, but I'm sure I could think of about $75 million different things to do with it.
That's a lot of wigs, man. That's a lot of wigs.
Yeah. Mace, good stuff as always. We appreciate it.
Okay, see you guys.
Thanks, Dave. Chris Mason joining us.
Both Elliot Friedman and Pierre LeBrun reporting, and I believe they both have blue check marks, right? So both of them reporting currently that this announcement is leaning Roman Josi, and that it's looking like an 8-year contract worth north of $9 million per year.
So if it is just slightly above nine per,
I think it's a win for David Poile.
David freaking Poile, how do you do it? I don't understand how you pull it off. Because I don't know that Josi would have taken it. I don't know how he takes it.
Somebody says, hey, here's $75 million.
It's
a lot of money.
I'm thinking Yossi's like, yeah, all right, the season I'm having, I'm thinking at least 9.5 minimum.
And anything over 9 makes him the third highest paid defenseman in the world. So I think that's about right. I don't think he's the best defenseman in the world, but third best, maybe, probably so. And to get paid like that, I think it's fair market value and a good job by both sides to get it done. If that is, in fact, what's going to happen, but you've got big national people reporting.
Yep. So. All right, so we'll find out. Announcement in little less than 2 hours. Roman Josi might be going to the bank. Do you go to the bank when you get $75 million? Do you use checking, saving? I mean, how do you deposit that?
Deposit it.
Mace, you lived it. How do you do it?
It is guaranteed.
Deposit.
I will say this. It does. Pierre LeBrun is also reporting that it includes a full no movement clause.
Well, that's huge.
Never gives out. It also looks like the contract could be front-loaded as well. Don't know what the details are. Again, this is just reports on Twitter by a couple of folks that are sort of in the know here.
So. You personally, let's say you were Roman Josi, you give up $500,000 per year for the sake of a no movement clause?
I have no idea.
Is it worth the value?
Yeah, I have no idea, to be honest. To have complete control over your destination is worth something.
It's pretty valuable.
Yeah, it's worth something. I don't know. Everybody views that differently, right? I mean, basically they don't ever give those out. And so if it's a full no movement across the entire board for the entire deal, that's a lot of player control that the player will have, a lot of power there. So
I'm going to go down the hallway and see if I can get a no movement clause. We'll be back after this.
Guys, let me talk to you about Xfinity. And, of course, the wonderful folks over at Xfinity always take care of my house. They're complete home entertainment service, but not just in the home. You know about the X1 voice remote. I talk to you about that all the time. You know about, of course, the DVR system. You can pause a game in one room like The Office and then go pick the game up again in the big room when the wife goes to bed. You can just slide right out there into the living room and you get your big old TV back on the game like you want. You got 8 different channel guides. So much great stuff. But the app is fantastic as well. I want to remind people because we use the app constantly. So I was making dinner for the kids because I was with the kids by myself on Saturday night, and I had the Auburn LSU game on TV, but I needed to watch the Tennessee game, so I pulled it up on the iPad there on the app while I'm making dinner for the two little screaming children there in the kitchen sitting in their chairs demanding food. You've got to feed them. So I'm making dinner, and I got the Tennessee game going on the app there, My wife uses the app all the time. The Xfinity app is fantastic. You can pick up all your live programming. You can access your DVR. It's fantastic. It's excellent. It's awesome. And it makes your life simple and easy. And that's what Xfinity does. Simple, easy, and awesome. The app is just a small part of it, among many, many other things that Xfinity brings to your home, whether it's home security, mobile, you name it, they've got it. 1-800-XFINITY, Xfinity.com, or pop into an Xfinity store today for more details.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
Big finish time. We do it each and every day here at 9:45 on Morning Drive. And Braden Gall, the big finish brought to you by
Nashville SC. That's Nashville Soccer Club, playing, of course, at home again this weekend against Indy 11. Go buy season tickets for their inaugural MLS season. NashvilleSC.com is a website. Go buy some tickets, man. Some tickies. NashvilleSC.com.
Yeah, buy like $72 million worth. That's what Roman Yossi would do, right?
That's a lot of money.
Rewind. And we welcome you into a Tuesday edition of Morning Drive, off and running live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Man, I wish I can curse right now.
Wow, yeah. It's so early.
I really
for that.
Do, man.
So early for cursing.
I just want to go straight Dolomite.
Not Dynamite. Not James Dolan.
Not J.J. Evans.
I'd like someone to go Dynamite on James Dolan, actually.
I think Charles Oakley tried to, but now he's not allowed back in MSG. Yeah. I came so close to betting on the Knicks last night. I saw they were a 2-point underdog. I said,
"You didn't take it?"
I said, "No." I got the Warriors. I took the Blazers.
Warriors.
But Damian, by the way, Damian Lillard tried to throw that game away.
You're such a sick and twisted individual.
And I took the Vancouver Canucks last night. I bet hockey, late night hockey, that I couldn't even watch.
What is wrong with you?
It's an addiction.
Clearly.
Yeah, I see.
But I
you
like winning.
You bet on the Canucks of all people?
Derek, we've been doing this show a little
over. They scored
over
5 goals in the first period.
Hell.
We will be doing this show as of he's dancing, literally dancing.
Since it's a Tuesday and we do our top four,
oh,
you know what you need to do right now.
Hang on, let me take my headset off.
Should I go with the new one or the old one? The new one?
New one.
Whatever floats your boat.
Top four Tuesday! There it is.
There you go.
La, 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 la.
He went back to like an original album and did like a
yes,
like an old remix,
an old
it's,
yeah,
it's old remix.
Played all the hits during the live show. I like it.
Man, we love playing the hits. Play the hits, boys. I don't know about you guys. I kind of feel like sticking with Kyle Allen's the right move.
Yeah, it is. But hang on, just give me a second. I'm going to go to my fantasy lineup and put the Tennessee Titans defense into my lineup real fast here.
So you like the matchup this week?
I mean, I like it better than playing Cam Newton.
Right, better.
So
no, I would take the matchup versus Cam before I take it versus Kyle Allen. Here's the reason: Cam is still hurt. Even if they would have started him this week, he's still not 100%. We've seen Cam when he's not 100%. He's just not the same quarterback. What they're going to have to do is, if you stop, which is a truly tall task, if you stop Christian McCaffrey, then you stop their offense. But that's a big if.
So this past week with the Titans winning, it was the first time I actually predicted a Titans game correctly.
Nice.
Wow.
So
how does it feel? Can you
feels
tell us how
great.
You feel?
And I think Floyd Reese did as well. We were both 0-7 going into that game. But my gut feeling for this one, just because we know the NFL is so bizarre and the Titans don't stack together too many wins too often, it feels like after Carolina got embarrassed returning home.
Yeah, it's not good.
Titans winning 2 in a row.
It's not good.
I don't have a good feel for this one.
I'm with you on this one. I think Carolina leads the NFL in sacks. Mm-hmm. End of discussion.
It's time to welcome in our resident general manager, Floyd Reese.
Well, I think this is just a gut feeling, but I'm not sure he wants to get rid of any more draft currency. You know, so I'm thinking he's not necessarily going to be one to jump out and give away draft choices for a player. Now, I could be completely wrong, but that's just me. I think if anything is done, it's probably going to be a player for a player, and I think it'll probably be some, you know, maybe somebody not significant because, you know, I don't know who on our team that would be significant that you would really want to trade. And so I think, you know, I don't expect to see a great deal. And John has always been willing to make deals. You know, it's not that he's ever been hesitant, but I just don't see maybe this situation.
We will get to you coming up around 7:15.
Oh, will we?
Oh, we will.
Okay.
You like this?
What do you? What is it?
I just feel like, man.
Is there a bird in the studio?
That's that too short, man.
Like, it's that too short, man.
You know a t-shirt said all the time.
I can go for shorty right now. Just saying.
Shoot, man.
Derek, it's hard to make Derek uncomfortable. God. And Nick manages to do it at least once a show.
That's the goal.
Oh,
bucket
goodness.
List, checklist, boom.
Derek, do you just want to take Nick out with you everywhere you go in social settings and just bring him along?
Just to make it awkward on you and then walk
just
off.
To make it as awkward as
just
possible.
To make an awkward joke and then leave you standing right there goodness. To explain.
I do not know the white guy.
This is a little, yeah, and, you need some time.
And I'm going to have people just falling out of their cars, literally, driving. And they're going to get so upset.
Well, now you have to tease it.
Yeah.
Well, if you're so on your way to Smyrna on 24, you could legitimately fall out of your car because the road's just bumpy as hell. So stick around.
I'm used to that in my neighborhood, too.
Exactly.
So I got something for you. Right. I got something for you.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to make your head explode.
Good. I need a good explosion.
And you get to see Scannard.
Scannard, my boy. That's my boy.
That's your boy.
Yeah, Scannard. Yeah.
It's a group.
Dude, that's a...
No, I'm just saying.
That's a hell of a prize pack, boys.
One of the guys, that's
good
my
night.
Dude. They're my dudes.
Yeah.
One of them?
Yeah, one of them.
The Wiz. Blame the Wiz, Philip. How'd you get 9 kids? Blame the Wiz.
And that was his boy, wasn't it? He and Wiz were like that. They were tight.
What did I miss? Is Ken Wisenhunt a bad dude?
Ken Wisenhunt didn't exactly endear himself to the national community.
Okay.
He didn't
open his arms when he came to Nashville.
He put in literally zero effort to, like, work himself into the city, right? Like, whether it's with former players, whether it's with the media, with the fans, he just sort of thought he was better than everybody else, kind of.
Just sort of getting Wisenhunt.
That's
why we blame everything on Wisenhunt. Everything that happens, you know, it doesn't matter. A rain day, it was Wisenhunt's fault.
There's no toilet paper.
Yeah.
Wisenhunt's fault.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of no toilet paper, we gotta get restocked in the bathroom. Went in there early this morning. There's nothing in there.
Oh, I was just in there. It's all good.
Is it good?
I don't need a second source either. I can report. I can report that there is TP.
I wanted to fire out a few tweets while I was in the facilities. And there was no accessories.
That's how you know Nick Kale loves you.
Yes.
Is if he's toilet tweets you.
Yeah. Toilet tweets.
Toilet tweets.
Double T.
Could be a new segment. Stay
Double
tuned.
T.
You a little cheeky.
No,
cheeky monkey. Were you looking at my bum? Bum looker. Yes, you were. Bum looker. Cheeky monkey. That is indeed the Morning Drive Daily Rewind.
Jeez. Here's a picture of my dad.
My daddy was asking for more credit. He said, I need more credit. I said, you're a wonderful dad. I think you're the best. Apparently, that wasn't the credit he was looking for.
That's so good.
Not as good as what could very well be happening in just an hour and 38 minutes. And more tweets coming out with just how big this could be historically for the Preds.
Yeah, it would be the biggest contract. If in fact it's north of $9 million, it would not only be the biggest contract they've ever signed with an individual, but also the most money they've ever paid an individual in a year. P.K. Subban's $9 million deal, I believe, the highest they've ever paid. I haven't double-checked that, but I'm pretty sure that's the highest they've ever paid anybody individually. Duchesne and Johansson, of course, both at $8 million. Shea Weber just under $8 million. Pecorine at $7 million. Pierre LeBrun also reporting that talks heated up over the last 3 to 4 days. His sense a month ago was that Yossi's camp was around 9.5, asking price. Preds were at 8.5, so both sides compromised to get it done, and the full no-movement clause was huge part of that as well. This is, again, according to Pierre LeBrun on Twitter reporting this. So, 1.5 hours. We'll see what the numbers are and what the details are, and we'll see what it looks like.
Well, if those are the details, yeah, that carrot you dangled, you had to give more. It wasn't just a couple of teams we won't trade you to. All of them.
Yeah, it means he can't be waived. A full no movement clause, which is pretty rare. Duchesne didn't get that. That means he's got he cannot be waived. He cannot be assigned to the minors. He cannot be traded. Which means if he wants to play on the big squad for the Nashville Predators for the entirety of the contract, it is completely up to Roman Yossi to do that. Which also would include his seasons aged 35, 36, 37.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something to consider on the back end of a very expensive, very lucrative contract.
Coming up tonight, the Predators and the Blackhawks, a 7 o'clock puck drop. Pregame at 6 o'clock here on 102.5. The game, the Predators, a healthy -202 favorite against Chicago, who's coming off of a four-game losing streak. The Predators have won three in a row, so we will certainly talk about that game tomorrow on the show. What we think could very well be this Yossi news finalized later today. So in the world of sports radio, sometimes the gods, they just come down and they say, here, we're going to give you content for a show.
Take it.
Well, except if you're the Titans. No trade deadline for you, son.
And that's true. We still got J-Rob today, too.
3 o'clock.
So we could be talking about Yossi becoming a bazillionaire and John Robinson maybe making a move.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
I think we're talking about Yossi being a millionaire, and I think we're not talking about the Titans. I think we're talking about the Titans not making a move.
Titans will pick up a guy from Kutztown University who's a third-string guard for a conditional pick. That'll be John Robinson's day today. That's going on record.
That's pretty eventful for Jay.
Yeah, I mean, it actually is.
Exactly right.
It's better than zero.
All right, Darren, Dolnick, and Chase, they are coming up next. They are live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. We will talk to you on what should be an action-packed Wednesday edition of Morning Drive. And as one man once famously said when he was signing off of social media, I'm just saying, take care.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, I love you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.